And good morning once again. Good to see you. We are in this month calling Fear Less, how we can enter this new year fearing less and hoping more in our God. So it's amazing how God works. I try to plan my sermons 3 to 4 weeks out, just watching how God's moving and what God's doing. So on my computer screen, my wife says, "You got to clean it up." But I got 6 or 7 sermons. I'm just working and working and working. So come Friday, I send my outline or Thursday outline to Chase. He gets us all set up. Friday morning, delete. Said, "Chase, we're not doing that sermon. God has put something else on my heart." So I thought, got to follow God's leading. So this is where we are today. This sermon came out of Friday. So I want to share with you what God is working in my life, and I know God's working the same in your life, and I just want to help you this morning through that. So as I'm studying that, I read across this article about a man who took his young child to the shopping mall, and naturally, childs just have their will of their own and started screaming, and the child just started screaming louder and louder and then started throwing a little bit of a tantrum. So the father walked over and parked a little stroller there and started talking to the child and said, "Now, Albert," and a woman's listening from a distance to what he's saying. And he's saying, "Albert, please be calm. Albert, settle down. Take a deep breath, Albert. It's going to be okay. Albert, calm down." And this woman was startled, and she walked over him and said, "Sir, I'm just amazed how you're talking to Albert. You're so polite. You're so calm. You're so patient. We need more dads like you in this world." And he looked at her and said, "Thank you, but I'm Albert." You know, sometimes we need a little bit of self-talk when we're kind of losing it. We're getting stressed out, like, "Okay, Drew, calm down, take a deep breath, it's going to be okay." And so I look at that, you know, and I know this is sometimes the best times in our lives when we can just take a deep breath and turn to God and say, "You got it. You know, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. Take this situation, take whatever I'm going through. God, I got to turn it over to you." So that's what he was talking. Just calm down, take a deep breath. God, you've got this as we're doing life together. And start thinking of things from an eternal perspective. So with the holidays that are behind us now, as we're moving forward, our second Sunday here into the new year, it is good to see you. You know, I know this, as we set up to accomplishing, I don't know if you do New Year's resolutions or you set goals or however you kind of try to organize January, but I know the time February, mine are in the trash. I just got to reset everything again. So, you know, as you're going through and trying to navigate those things in life, and whatever maybe is next spiritual step for you, what are you praying about? What God wants you to do for that next spiritual step that you can take, whether it be in your life, here at Main Place, wherever God's having you, at work, at home, it doesn't matter. You look at that, and why do you feel is the biggest hindrance when you start challenging yourself to take that next step, whatever it is, spiritually? You take that next step. What is it that comes across your life that becomes the biggest hindrance of you accomplishing what you set out to do? I'll give it to you in one word. It's focused. It's hard for us just to stay focused on what we're supposed to do. So because of that focus, we get distracted by so many things, and then we start getting distracted by all these things, then fear starts setting in our lives because we're just out of focus on what we should be doing. So when you're not in focus, fear comes in and replaces that which you were trying to set out to do. We easily get distracted. What happens is this world has a way, doesn't it, in your life? It does in mine. This world just has a way of just nudging into your life, squeezing on in. And when that world starts squeezing into your life and starts interrupting what you thought you should do and that next step forward spiritually in your life, man, shields start to cover your eyes and you start to lose focus and see what direction you should be going. Then you start hearing all the noise of the world, which covers your spiritual ears and starts blocking what you should be hearing. And then the most important thing is that then our hearts start to be closed because we're not seeing and hearing things from God. Then our hearts become a little bit more hardened to the things of God. Well, I want to tell you this morning, as your pastor, you can do this. You can do this year, because I know this. Today I've realized, and through walking with most of you last year and the difficulties that you've had, that you're realizing more and more how much you need Jesus Christ. How much more you know you need God, that you're not in this alone, And I've been trying to help you, walk you through these situations in your life to depend upon God, that He is your source of strength and hope as you walk through this life. But I know this, we have to learn to replace fear with hope. How do we get rid of that fear? How do we minimize that fear that's going on in our life to build up that hope, that strong hope that we need in our lives? It says that you could live 40 days without food. You could live 8 days, they say, without water. 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds in life without hope. And how true that is. Back in 1927, I know it was a few years back for many of us, that the American submarine had collided off the Coast Guard vessel off the coast of Provincetown, Massachusetts, and the submarine sunk, and fear started to set in to those sailors. The Coast Guard sent divers to assess the damage and start a rescue operation, and as the divers got close to the sub, they heard this little tapping on the hull of the sub, and in Morse code, the question was asked, is there hope? The sailors in that sub wanted to know through Morse code from the divers, is there any hope for us here stuck in this sub? And that's why the question for all of us as we enter this new year, is there hope? And I want to say, yes, there is. There is hope in Jesus Christ this morning. We do have hope. That's why I believe it's very important for us this morning. And that's kind of one of the reasons I changed my sermon to hear from Peter. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 if you want. And through this brief few verses we're going to look at this morning, Peter wrote, these were new Christians. And Peter tried to encourage these new Christians with hope. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're not a new Christian. Well, this is a great reminder for all of us. If you're watching online, this is for you too. And maybe you're a new Christian online or here in our service this morning, and last year you just received Jesus Christ. This is a great help for you as you work through this, because Peter is writing this letter for us, as well as for the recipients back in the New Testament, because these were new believers. Now they're scattered. In our modern day, it might be Turkey, as they say. So they're scattered everywhere. And because of them being scattered everywhere, Peter wants to address them through their issues that they have. And through their issues that they have, 1 Peter comes to us, and he wants to talk to us how to have hope in this new year. So in your Bible, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Put your finger there. And Peter wants to point them to the example of Jesus Christ, first of all. Because of the example of Jesus Christ, who endured some unjust suffering in his life, and a hostile world in which Jesus lived, but Jesus showed us how you can have hope and have a life that lives a life of holiness that pleases God. And because Jesus Christ did that, Peter wants to point us to his example that you can follow that same path. In spite of the hostile world, the environment you might be placed in this morning, as a Christian, you can live in hope because Jesus Christ showed us the way. One of Peter's favorite words, and I like this, it's a little Greek, not a history lesson here, it's the word anastrophe. He uses this word in his text to us this morning. He uses it 6 times in 1 Peter, and then he uses another 2 times in 2 Peter. How many times is that? That's 7. And it's only used 5 other times in the whole New Testament. So this is one of Peter's favorite words. And why is it one of his favorite words, as we'll see this morning? Because anatrophes, it means this. It means a way of life. It means a behavior. It means a pattern of life that he wants us to live every day. And he points this out to us. He says, as a Christian, you should stand out from the world. So if you're a new believer and you're thinking, okay, what does a Christian look like? How am I supposed to behave as a new believer? Peter says, this one word, this is your lifestyle. This is the way you should live. This is your behavior. And as a person that's been a Christian for many years, this is a reminder for us, this is our lifestyle too. So this is where he helps us this morning. People that are going through trials, people that are going through fears, he's writing to these new Christians that you can have hope. And not only can you have hope, if you go to verse 3, just a quick reminder, he says, he has caused us to be born again. Why? To a, not only hope, he calls us to a living hope. It is a powerful hope. So in the opening greetings of 1 Peter, I want to take you there in chapter 1, verse 1. I want to give you this morning 5 reasons 5 unshakable truths how you can have hope as a Christian. These are some anchors you can walk away with this morning to replace fear with hope. And the first one is this: God chose us before we chose him. That is great for me, because if he did not choose me, I don't know if I'd ever choose him. I know my heart, but I had a regenerated heart because of God. He chose me. It says, if you want to look in your Bible, 1 Peter, I'm going to read probably from a different translation than you're reading from, but you can follow me in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. This is what Peter exhorts us to this morning. He says this: you were chosen according to the purpose of God the Father and were made a holy people by his Spirit. Why? To obey Jesus Christ and be purified by his blood. And I like this. He said he has chosen you. And I look at the word chosen, and I see that it says it comes right after this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chosen or elected. That's what gets me, is that God sought out Peter's life and chose Peter, just like he did to you this morning. If you're a believer, he chose you. That's unbelievable that God thought enough about you as an individual, and he says, I want to choose you. This is how you can replace fear with hope, knowing that if you're a believer and if you're seeking the truth on your spiritual walk, that God is after you. He's looking for you. He wants to choose you. And he puts this at the beginning of his letter because he wants to put an emphasis on this. He wants to settle this, that he is the God of hope. Peter wants us to know from the outset that our relationship with God does not depend upon our just weak grasp as a human being that we can grasp onto God. It's the other way around. It's on the flip side of this. But rather that God has a sure grip on you. He's not going to lose you. He's got his grip on you. Because why? He chose you. Our salvation is not our doing. Our salvation is all up to him and his doing. So I ask you this morning, long before God chose you, he had you in his mind. Your salvation was his idea. Aren't you glad of that? He planned this all out just for you. That's how much he loves and cares for you. He took the initiative. We all know what it feels like to be chosen. I don't know if you ever, you know, playing outside when you were young at school and you chose teams and chose sides and you were chosen. Well, I don't have a great experience of that because I was always the last to be chosen, but I still got chosen by default. So we all got chosen in life, whether it be a job, they chose you. We got some that got a job this last year within the last 2 months, been out of work for a year or so, and they finally chose you to work for them. If you're a spouse this morning, you got chosen too. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a great thing? Okay, just checking, see if you're here with me. God had chose you to spend eternity with him. Could you believe that? He doesn't want to spend a day on Sunday at 9 o'clock with you. He wants to spend eternity, the rest of your life in heaven with you. That's exciting. He chose you. That to me is a big deal. That's the first one that can help us replace fear with hope. Here's the second one is this: God acts with mercy towards you. Aren't you glad he acts with mercy towards you? My gosh, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. He acts with mercy. If you want to go down to chapter 1 again, the last part of verse 2, and the first part of verse 3 says this. He says, grace and peace be what? Multiplied. I just don't want to give you grace for 1 day or 2 days. I don't want to just give you peace. I want it to be multiplied in your life. All honor and to God, the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is his boundless mercy that he has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's family. The more we understand grace, the more it amazes me. Because I don't understand grace that often. It's hard to grab your why God shows grace on me. But the more you can think about it, the more it just amazes me. That's how much God loves me. He wants to show grace and mercy and peace in my life. And Peter says multiplied. Grace and peace is a form of Christian greeting because they all say grace and peace to you, grace and peace to you. Grace. But it's more than that. In God's grace, it was the motivating factor in Peter's life. If you don't know much about Peter, you remember him before the cross? Oh, I'm going to stand by you, God. You're not going to go to the cross. I'm going to be here. He's in the garden whacking off servants' ears. God's putting the ears back on. And then he goes to the servant girl, started that thing around the fire and sees Jesus. And, oh, you don't know him. And they went through that whole scene. How many times did Peter deny Jesus Christ? 3 times. Here's Peter. You want to talk about grace? That's why he's writing this to new Christians. God's going to show grace and mercy in your life. Peter understood that. He uses that word in every chapter of his book. He says over 10 times. Why? Because Peter finally gets it. God showed grace and mercy and peace to him. The first words that in this, there it says Peter. Peter here illustrates God's grace in the most personal way. Because he was Peter, he was what? Simon. Simon Peter. Simon the unstable man. He was unstable in everything he did. He failed miserably, denied Jesus Christ on a number of occasions, but most apparently when his denial, the Lord comes to him after the resurrection, and because of that, Jesus Christ comes to Peter, and he says, you will be called, now what? The Rock. You thought there was another guy in movies called The Rock. This is the true Rock. Peter was called The Rock because of Jesus Christ greatly used him as an apostle. Then he comes to the word peace. He gives us that word peace to us. That's the inner result. Do you know that peace now is the inner result in your life because of God's grace? When God gives me grace, that should calm my spirit down and replace fear with hope because now I have that peace that passes all understanding. And then he says, and I'm taking this a little slow for you because if you understand why he's writing this, it makes a lot of sense. Because Peter says he's a Peter, an apostle. So we look at Peter as an apostle. I first look at the name Peter because that's what he calls himself. It illustrates God's grace because when he says, I am Peter, I'm a forgiven man. You are a forgiven woman. He says, I am Peter. I am forgiven. That is grace that God has showered his blessings on me. But then he says, I am Peter, the apostle. So what does that mean to you and to me as we're reading his letter to new Christians? Apostle means one that is sent out with authority. So I'm a man that has been forgiven. Now I'm coming to you with a man because I've been forgiven and shown grace and I have peace that I can come to you with authority. Why can Peter come to us with authority? Because he was a changed man. He saw what God could do in his life. So he comes to you and he offers these not only suggestions but commands from God to us with authority. He said, don't take these as suggestions. Take this from the Word of God because I'm coming to you this morning to help you understand how fear can be replaced with hope. Because I have seen it in my own life. So Peter comes to us this morning, not as suggestions, but as divine commandments from God. And if they are, then I should listen to what he's saying and take these to heart. So the truth gives us hope that God acts with mercy towards us. So no matter what's going to come this year, we have no idea what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next year is going to hold. We know what last year did. We don't want a repeat of last year. Many of us don't at all. But we don't know what 2022 is going to have for us. But we do know this. You can rest completely in the truth that God has chosen you. Rest in the truth that God will give you mercy and grace this year. He promised that from Peter. Then I think of the third thing. Can I help you with this morning? Here's number three. God has secured our future. And you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm a believer. I know I'm going to heaven. No, listen to me. God has secured it. That should give you enough hope to last you through the rest of your life, not just today. So here's what I'm saying. If you're a believer, you do not need to worry this morning about your eternal destination. It is secure. And say, okay, I know that. Okay, let me help you with that even further. It's not a matter of the destiny you're going to. It's a matter that it will not change. And if it will not change, that should give you hope for today. Look what Peter says in verse 3. Now we have and live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose again from the dead. And Christ has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. So I look at that and says, whatever problems Drew and Leanne might encounter this year, we can praise God as Christians that because he has saved us for an eternity with him. There is so much wrapped up into that. Maybe you're thinking this morning, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor Drew. I know I'm going to heaven, but what about between now and heaven? It's really, maybe you're thinking, that's really superficial to say. You're being kind of lighthearted. You're being a little bit laid back in that thinking of that. No, no. If you knew the things that I'm facing, you might be thinking this morning, if you knew what I was going through, you'd be careful not to say, hey, God's got a secure place. You're going to heaven. Don't panic. Don't worry about anything. And you say, you're saying this a little bit too casual this morning to me. No, I'm not. I want you to listen to what Peter says through this, that I should praise God because someday I will have heaven when I die. And you're thinking, I get that. But what about now? What about today? What about what I'm facing? You're maybe saying this, I'm being treated unfairly at work. I've been fired because of my Christian testimony and what I stand for and what I believe. Or you might say, I can't find work. I'm facing severe financial problems. I can't find housing. I have a mate who's not a Christian who makes my life just so miserable at home. I have a good friend that turned his or her back on me without cause and runs me down behind my back. And since I began to follow Christ, I'm a new believer, but I've experienced problem after problem. This is not a bed of roses like I thought it would be if I turned my life to Jesus Christ. And sometimes you're overwhelmed. Can I say this morning? Peter knew that. Everything I just listed for you, that's why Peter was writing this. These are the same things that were going on in the days of these new Christians that Peter was writing to. Has anything changed in over 2,000 years? Absolutely not. They were going through these same questions that I just listed for you. Christians were being treated unfairly, even though they had done no wrong at all. Peter goes on to describe these Christian wives were being mistreated by their unbelieving husbands, and many of the believers lost former friends who are now slandering them. Some were being threatened, and likely some were even facing martyrdom. Peter knew all this. This is why I wanted to turn to him this morning, because he can help us with this, that he is proclaiming to them, he says this, "Blessed be the God that has caused us to be born again to a living hope." That's why God chose you, to be born again so you could have a living hope. The idea of the future of heaven and our inheritance and all of that God has given to you, if that does not affect you this morning, if you cannot wrap your arms around that, what God has given to you and your inheritance and all that he has in store for you, I'm going to suggest two things that might be true. Number one is you might not be saved. If you can't wrap your arms around that and just get so excited what God has done and the inheritance that you have awaiting for you and how it's going to get you from here to heaven and all that God has in store for you, possibility is you don't know Jesus Christ. But here's the flip side of that. The other issue might be this. You may be saved, but you may be, to some degree, and let me say that, be buying into an errant form of Christianity that puts the emphasis on the here and now and not on eternal life. And that's why fear comes in. The world wants you to have the here and now. Yes, God promises to take care of you here and now, but God has a better future for us. You think of eternity as opposed to your lifespan on this earth. God has saved you for that. So in light of that, I read an article about old Reverend Ike. Old Reverend Ike, he used to say this very, very crassly. He says, "I don't want my pie in the sky when I die. I just want cash in the stash here and now." Sometimes as Christians, we buy into that. Just give it to me now. I want it now. I want my life to be better now. I want everything to be good now. Everything is now. Most of us maybe are not that blatant. But if we need to stop and think about what our salvation really means this morning, what does that mean to you? Salvation means that you and I, if we're born again, who justly deserve eternal wrath of God, have been delivered from that wrath through the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf. That's salvation. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve condemnation. But as you read the scripture, there is no condemnation to them who are what? In Jesus Christ. So if we're not saved, we are lost. We are under the wrath of God, that terrible condemnation. Reading a story about, suppose I were in a line, let's choose a bank, I don't know, they seem to have the longest lines that don't move. You're in your bank, you're in a line, and good to see Joe here this morning, so I'm going to use you if you don't mind. So I'm in line at the bank, and I in a long line, and I'm waiting, and Joe comes by and grabs me by the arm, yanks my arm, pulls me out of line, gets me outside, moves me on. And I'd probably be a little bit upset. "Joe, I've been waiting here for an hour trying to get up to the tailor. You hurt my arm. You yanked me outside. What do you think you're doing to me, Joe?" And you may lose a place in line, and then I have to go back to the back of the line and look, and everybody's laughing, looking at me. I'm a little bit self-conscious here, what's going on in those around me. And I said, "Joe, you hurt my arm. Why did you do that? I don't appreciate what you've done." Now think of this. But what if a bank robber, some terrorist, came in the bank to hold up the bank and take everybody in there hostage? And as they take everybody there hostage, they say they're going to kill one of the people in the bank, the hostages, every 5 minutes if they don't their needs and demands are not met. Joe hears that. Joe comes running to me, yanks me by the arm, gets me out of line, covers me, protects me, and saves me from the terrorists. You think I'd have a different attitude towards Joe at that time? I sure would. Why? Because he saved me. See the big difference there? Some of us go through life and we look at that and say, oh, God just disrupted everything I have. And some of us look at life and we say, thank you, God, for disrupting my life and giving me your son, Jesus Christ. You saved me from that. So I look at this morning. As Christians, I fear we've gotten away from maybe the eternal perspective of life and our eternal inheritance that God has given us in heaven. Peter makes 2 points here. Whatever our fears are going to come this year in our life, we can praise God because, number one, our salvation comes from him. And number two, Peter says, because our salvation is safe for eternity. So think about your salvation this morning. You have an eternal reservation in heaven that can never, never be canceled. That's your reservation. God's not going to cancel that on you. 2022 will not be the end of you. You realize that? God has a purpose for your life. God has written your final chapter in your life, and you know what? You win because of him. Number four is this. I'm going to close with these last two. Number four is this. God's power now will protect you. How can you replace fear with hope? Because God's power. He promises to protect you. Down in verse 4, it says this. Through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. No matter what this year has in store for you, you can always count on God's promises. And this is what Peter is saying to these new Christians, that God has sealed your salvation. It is yours, and he's going to protect you. So when we can praise God this morning, Peter says, because our salvation comes from a life-giving power, and that is Jesus Christ. He has caused us to be born again, and this reflects Jesus' language. Remember Nicodemus? Jesus met Nicodemus, and he came to him, life-changing. He said, you what? You must be born again. He was so confused, like a lot of people. What do you mean born again? Let me ask you this in your life, with your physical birth. As we do, did you have anything to do with your physical birth? No. Your parents did. You didn't. You didn't have a choice at all. We didn't will it. Did you will your physical birth? No. You were conceived by your parents. Did you help with the process? No. No. You didn't decide, well, you know what? I'm going to be born, so I'm going to choose these two parents that live over here in this house, in this neighborhood. I'm going to choose them to be my parents. Did you have that choice? Absolutely not. You know, when it comes to your salvation, the process all belongs to God. He chose you. You are part of his family. You have nothing to do with your salvation except believing by faith that Jesus Christ died for you. That's it. God did everything else. He saved you. He's securing you. He's protecting you with his power, and he's going to take you to heaven because of that. That is something to hang your hat on and know that fear can replace hope because why? He has saved you like he said he would. But it also gives us a reason to praise God. See, our salvation comes on God's effort, not on mine. It comes upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross and not whatever I could do. I just simply have to believe it by faith. But if it comes from the sovereign will of God, based on the mighty power of God that brings salvation and spiritual life to me, then that is a sure thing. I had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. He chose me. He died for me. However shaky life is, when we get to go through 2022 this year, we can praise God because of this, because our deliverance from our spiritual death comes from God and not from me. Thank God it comes from him and not from me. But when you go through your life, realize this, that his power in your life is bigger than any fear that you will ever face. Number five is this. The last one is this, what Peter gives us to. He says, God is preparing us for eternity. God is preparing you for eternity in this life. When you really understand this truth, man, it will change everything, the way you think of life and how you go about life. God is using everything in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, he's wrapping all up like we talked last week. All things work together for good. God wants to do good to you through this life, preparing us for eternity. Peter describes this down in verse 6 and 7. You're reading with me? So be truly glad. He comes to these new believers that their world is just shaken up. He said, I want you to be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, ha, there it is. We can't escape that. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Maybe that's what God's bringing you through. Last year and this year, he's testing to see what your faith is really standing on. Is it genuine? If it is, Peter said, be truly glad. So he says, and I continue, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. That's the hope that Peter gives to these new believers. Peter's writing to suffering Christians once again. He tells them that greatly rejoice at the same time they are being distressed. Is that a slap in the face? No. This is the word of God. How can you tell people to be glad when they're going through things? They're asking Peter. He is not denying their distress, which means their fear, their anxiety, their pain, their grief. Peter's not downplaying that at all. What Peter's trying to do is, is he disregarding the genuine joy a Christian can have in Jesus Christ. That's where he wants them to focus. Remember I asked you, what's the biggest hindrance to your next step spiritually or whatever goals you have in your life? Is what? Lack of focus. That's what Peter's trying to help them. They were focusing on their fear, their anxiety, their stress, their grief, all that was wrapped up, and Peter's trying to switch that around. He says, you can be glad because you have Jesus Christ. Yes, you're going to have trials, but God is bigger than your trials. So he's trying to help them through this pain. After being flogged, Peter knew this. That's why he said, I'm Peter. I'm an apostle. I come to you as a man that's been through all of that, but I come to you as an apostle with authority, with a command. Peter was flogged. He was beaten. And he warned to never speak the word of God to other people again. And the other apostles, they went on their way. And Peter said, go on your way, but rejoice. And this is what Peter said in chapter 5 of Acts, verse 41, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name. Peter said, be glad in that. That's the joy from whatever pitch you are in this morning. In our text, Peter tells them this, because our Savior, Jesus Christ, uses trials to refine you, uses trials to refine me, we can have joy by looking, by focusing back on him this morning, and that's our salvation. So as I close, I want you to stand with me, and I want us to pray together as a church. I don't know what 2022 holds for you. I know you don't know what 2022 holds for you. But I want to assure you this once again. Go back and read these first 8 verses in Peter today to reassure yourself what Peter was talking to us and remind us that your trials, no matter how painful they are, and I don't take them lightly, they are temporary. When you see that in light of eternity, focus is everything, church. Keep your focus on eternity. Father, we love you this morning. We are paused to say thank you for Peter, a man with authority. Why is somebody can speak like this with authority? Because he's been through it. Peter's been through the fire. He's been a messed up man. He denied you 3 times. He cut off somebody's ear in anger. He tried to step in the way of what Jesus Christ was doing by going to the cross. And yet, in all of that, he comes to you and says, I, Peter, an apostle, chosen. And because of that, he can help us with these 5 unshakable truths this morning. So as a church, as we walk into this new year, whatever may come our way, God, help us to stay focused. Stay focused on eternal things that really matter in this life. I pray for those that are going through some really tough times, discouraging times, dark days, valleys in their life. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And we all know that cliche, the light at the end of the tunnel is a train, it's a truck coming our way just to hit us. We know that's not true. Because of your promises from Peter this morning, we can rest assured that we can replace fear with hope in this new year. And we can be fearless as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.